Could you say with me, I have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm a sheep. So I hear your voice, Lord, and I follow it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, these are good forever, but we're going to be using them for the next 3 weeks. So, bring it back with you. There's room to make notes. Now, I do reserve, know this, even though there's numbered pages and it goes right through, I reserve the right of the Holy Spirit to talk about anything, even if it's not on the page. Amen? I want you to understand it isn't necessarily line by line, and we kind of go through the verses of Scripture. It's a guide, but it's also helpful for those that even after the three meetings, you can take it and go through the Scriptures and get more revelation for your very own. Amen? All right. Having said that, I do want to be obedient to the Spirit. My goal at all times in ministering is, Lord, you have the agenda. I want your agenda. I want it all done, and I don't want anything left undone. And oh, by the way, I don't want to go past what you're doing either. People want to hear from the Spirit of God, not me. I was praying this afternoon and morning, praying for the meeting tonight, praying for God's Quest Ministry. And this doesn't happen that often to me, but the Lord said to me, I want you to give God's Quest Ministry, Brother Don, Brother Noel, Sister Hannah, and every single person that has anything to do with the ministry, a word from the Word. John chapter 15, 14th verse. I like this. I can move around. Whew, that's nice. 14th verse. You are my friends if you do whatever I say to you. See, when Jesus gives a command, he's just saying to us, amen? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Now, I want you to know something. That isn't for everybody. God had one friend in the Old Covenant, the old times. Abraham, he called a friend. I don't read anywhere else where he called anyone else a friend. Amen. Now, I want you to know something tonight. This is big stuff. This is big stuff for this ministry that God says, you're my friend. This doesn't come lightly. Amen. Glory to God. When I got it, I was excited. That was like this afternoon. I said, whoopee. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Noel, Don, Sandra, Hannah, and I were at a leadership luncheon a few weeks ago. We had met with Joey Perez and we were discussing the banquet. And after that, we sat around, and that was the exact scripture that we sat for about an hour and talked about.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you, it excited me. A friend of God.
Amen.
My goodness. Do you know the Bible definition of a friend? It's someone who is willing to lay their life down for another. Do you understand what God just said? Amen. Hallelujah. This isn't something that just comes off the top of God's head one day. This is years of watching. God watching. Amen. You know what else it means? There is nothing, nothing that God has that He will withhold from this ministry. Nothing. Whatever amount of money you need, whatever amount of labor you need, whatever you need, it's yours. Why? Because of what God just said. You hear me, and you do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Yeah, some of you aren't excited now, but you'll be in a few months when you see what happens. This is going to be good. That'd be good to watch. Good to see. Better to be a part of. Amen? Praise God. When, again, praying and seeking God for the meetings, I believe there's going to be four things that will happen in your life by the end of this month. One of those is you will have a clear-cut vision of your place in God's plan. Every one of you. Some of you are a little, well, I don't know what to do. I want God to use me. I do want to do it. And you have a heart that's seeking. Well, you're going to have a vision to go with it. Very clear. You will know exactly how God has graced you. You better walk to somebody and say, God's given me this grace. Because you all know we don't do anything apart from the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I labor more than you all, but it was the grace of God with me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something that very few people realize what the grace of God is. We know unmerited favor, yes. Undeserved favor, yes. But the enemy has watered down the truth of God's grace to a point where we're only ankle deep. Okay? We need to get in over our head. In Hebrews, you don't have to turn there. It says that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Now that's pretty amazing. There's not one single temptation that you or I would face that Jesus didn't go through. And it was yet without sin. The grace that God has given us is that ability that Jesus had to resist sin. And He put that in us. It's not us. It's Jesus' ability to resist that works in us. And that's the grace. That's the grace that the Word talks about growing in. Grow in the grace of God. Grow. People who jump up and say, well, grace means you can live any way you want. Impossible. Ridiculous. Impossible. It's not possible. How could you be doing that and have Jesus in you? and all of his ability to do the will of God, all of his ability to carry it out. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, that's like shouting ground. But what happens? Folks, just rest. Quit trying to fix yourself. You came to Jesus because you couldn't fix yourself. So why are you trying to fix yourself afterwards? Amen? The Lord wants you to get up tomorrow morning full of joy, just loving him, loving yourself, knowing he loves you, and have a good time. Amen? Could everybody say with me, it's just great to be saved.
It's just great to be saved.
It's just great to be saved.
It's great to be saved.
Huh? Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a whole lot better than not. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't have to get up tomorrow and figure out a way to make myself pleasing to God. I already am. Amen? So quit trying to do it. Now, secondly, and I'm following a specific instruction. There's some of you came in and you've just had worry, cares. What am I going to do about this? I got problems, all this, all that. And it's been wearing you out. Jesus says, you don't have to do that. Give it to me. I'll take care of it. Now, let me ask you a question before we deal with this right now. How many of you could give the problem to God and not take it back? Anybody here in that group? If you are, wave your right hand up here. Ah, two people. See, because before we go on, Jesus wants you to be at rest and unburdened, and that way you'll hear what the Spirit is saying instead of what that worry's telling you. You know, then you won't leave and say, how was it? It was good. What'd you get? I don't know. I forgot. Well, let me look at my notes. And then you look at your notes and there it is. Blank. Come on, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's been bugging you all day, all week. Listen, when you give it to Jesus, it isn't that it isn't being taken care of. It is. He's taken care of it. That's where your rest is. And then, you know, I've done it in the past. I've been there. I give it to the Lord. I'm just hanging on to that table because the word, I just want to go do something. I got a great idea to take care of this. Give Jesus a chance. How's this for a prayer? I need some extra money. I'd like you to agree with me. I need 20 extra hours of overtime this week. Really? And how many hours are you working now? 50. So you want me to agree with you for 70 hours of work? Do you think Jesus got a better way than to just wear you out? Where'd that come from? Care, the worry, and the person conjured up in their own mind how they were going to deal with it. And then turn it into a prayer and ask God to agree with that when Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are heavily burdened, and those of you that labor, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon. I cannot stand it when I hear or when I have people come and whatever. It's just so hard to be a Christian. Try the world. You think they're having a good time? It's so tough to be a Christian. No wonder we're having a problem in people testifying to the goodness of the Lord. Why would you tell anybody to get on board with this if you think it's so bad? Only an insane person would do that. I have pastors that come all the time. How do I get the people to do anything? They won't do anything. What they're talking about is doing the work of the ministry. What it talks about in Ephesians. How do I get them to do anything? Well, Pastor, are they excited? Well, not that I can notice. Well, then that might be a problem then, wouldn't it? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, the way of increase, or to be enlarged, is to increase the faith of the people you minister to. Oops. Then what's going on? See, as we minister to you and your faith increases, we don't have to tell you to go. You can go. So when we make a call and say we need 7 ministry teams, prayer teams, to go to Quakertown and take 1 day assignment, 7 days every day for an hour prayer, and we want to make that call and we want these people, ain't gonna be hard. Why? Because your faith is increased. You know when you pray, you get an answer. Wow. Amen. What makes people not pray? They don't get an answer to prayer, so they quit. Give up after a while, any normal person would. And God's there going, I just want to answer your prayers so badly. I want to bless you so much. I want the blessing to overflow in your life. I want every day to be a celebration in your life. Every single day. Amen. Everybody that has a care or worry, whatever, right now, put your right hand up. Close your eyes, everybody. And you give it to the Lord. George Mueller, who lived from the early 1800s to the late 1800s, who's been a friend of mine for 30 years, because I've been reading his stuff, I just haven't been able to let him know. He said, I pastored, and when I would go to the church, I'd sit down, and there would be 60 problems on my desk. And you know what I did? I gave them to the Lord and left the office. Hallelujah. Pastors, I'm so busy. Well, get less busy and let God get busy and you get less busy. Amen? Amen. Raise your hands. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I cast every care upon you now. I leave it with you. I trust you. I know by your grace, you take care of it. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to be good enough. But by your mercy and grace, you have those cares now, and you're taking care of it. I'll not take it back. I will not let it come to my thoughts. I will rebuke it out of my thoughts if it tries to come back. I'll not give it another thought. I say, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I just don't care. I just don't care. I just don't care. Hallelujah! Amen! People come to me and say, do you know what's... I don't care. I don't care. Amen. Would you turn to the first page in the little booklet? I want to take a few moments and I want you to understand, and I don't have the verse in here, but I do have it in the book of John, where Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I may know that. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, good enough. We get over 4, we're good. Okay. He chose everyone that's in this room. And he said, I chose you that you would bear fruit. Now, we all know that a fruit tree, apple, orange, that's in Florida. No orange trees here. Apple tree, whatever, does not bear fruit like this. I'm trying so hard. I've got to bear some fruit. Please. and keels over from exhaustion. You take care of the tree and the fruit grows. Amen. So all of you tonight, I want you to get free from another thing. And it's this. I got to figure out some good work to do so I can bear fruit. Cut it out. Stop that. Hang around with Jesus. You'll bear fruit. Because he's the one that causes the fruit to grow. Amen? But we got a lot of Christians, they want to bear the fruit, and they don't want Jesus to be the one to cause it. Guess what? It won't happen. You'll get tired. But I want to. Now watch out. Don't get caught in this. I want to bear fruit so I get some credit for bearing the fruit. I don't want Jesus to do it because I have to give Jesus credit for the fruit. Which is it? By grace, through faith, we're saved. Not of our own works. It's a gift from God. How many of you know you don't earn gifts? Because if you try to, they're not a gift. They become Ozies. Amen. So what does this have to do about what God has for us to do? What does this, everything? Because Ephesians tells us he has prepared the good works beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's never trying to figure it out. It's God, what have you prepared beforehand? Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do or hear him say. That's why you're a friend. Because God's Quest Ministries is not trying to engineer some way to do a good deed. Want to hear God, what God's doing, and do it. Amen. And hey, I want to tell you something. It's a lot more fun. A lot more. How are you doing right now? It's all you need. A minute from now, how are you doing? Great. An hour from now, great. Don't worry about tomorrow. I don't see anybody in this room starving. Least of all me. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. If you can mark in your little booklet, which I give you permission to do, so give yourself permission. Mark followed him. Now, Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20 is the same account, very similar. Now, any time that you hear, follow me from the Lord. And he said, I chose you, didn't he? He said, I chose you. I noticed many times when he ministered to someone through the Gospels, he didn't say that to everybody. He didn't say, follow me, to everyone. But to the ones that he chose, he said, follow me. Well, why is that? Anytime that you hear, follow me, that's the call to be a disciple of Jesus. See, there's multitudes. And Jesus ministered to the multitudes, and he healed them, and he fed them. He fed 20,000. He healed them all. He met all of their needs. However, out of that multitude came disciples. And when he did the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he climbed up the mountain. And he kept going up higher and higher. And it says the disciples followed him. Well, what happened to the multitudes? They didn't follow. I've had people come all the time. And they wonder, what has happened? What has happened in my life? What happened when I was, you know, so many years ago, and I was saved, I was baptized in the Spirit, and so forth, and my life doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Jesus went and you didn't follow. That's what happened. In John chapter 12, Jesus talks about when you follow him, you go where he is. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. Oops. Uh-huh. Well, we got a problem now, don't we? Mm-hmm. There's where Jesus is going. And, you know, Jesus don't, he doesn't ever come around behind anybody and push. He just keeps going. The rich young ruler, he didn't negotiate with him. Oh, hold up a second. Let me see if I can water this down some. He didn't chase after him. He let him go. We never heard from him again. I believe he would have been the 12th apostle. He knew about money. The treasurer was the bad guy. So, Jesus chooses a lot of people, but they don't all choose to follow. Now, I put a definition in here. This is something you would want to read this over and go over this from the Greek to accompany, go along with, go the same way with, one who proceeds. That Greek word, anybody can pronounce it, be good, is being on the same roadway with someone. Since the word was easily used for soldiers, servants, and pupils, it can easily be transferred to the life of a Christian. In 78 gospel occurrences, it is used 77 times of following Jesus. Metaphorically, it is used for discipleship. Jesus, in Matthew 28, what did he say? We call the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples, followers of all nations. Now, teaching, the last part, to observe all the things I have commanded you or said to you, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. How many followers are there in this room? Hands. Now, look at Roman numeral 2, mending the nets analogy. And let me say this. This is something that I have had revelation in and have had for years and years, and a little bit added to it each time. Back in 1992, 3, right in there. I had a pastor come down from New Haven, meet with me in Philly, and he was an evangelist that came from Africa. And he was American from Texas who went to Africa to be an evangelist and was very successful, great crusades. He came back, went to New Haven, Connecticut, and he just started holding evangelistic meetings. The next thing he knew, 6 months later, he had 2,000 people sitting in a big room on Sunday morning. I had met him briefly, just like 5 minutes at a pastor's conference in Texas, and just by acquaintance and so forth. He calls me from Philadelphia, says, I'm in a room, I came to see you, would you meet with me? So I went down there and I met with him, and he said, I got this big meeting going on. And he said, I got 2,000 people on a Sunday morning. I need somebody to come up there, be my senior associate. When you talk, you're talking for me, and make something out of them. Because I don't know how to do it. I'm an evangelist. See, he knew what he was. He said, I'll tell you what, you can have authority over everything. You just let me preach on Sunday and Wednesday. That's all I want to do. So I prayed over that. And I have to tell you, when the Lord said to go ahead, he also said, I'm bringing you up here to give you a rest. Now, didn't it sound like a lot of work? Rest? Well, see, it was a rest because the buck didn't stop here, Pastor. I could blame him for anything that went wrong. And I told him, I said, Pastor Jerry, anything goes wrong, you're the one who's got to stand up and explain it, not me. He said, I'm up for that. Now, the reason I said that is when I got up there, I said, gee whiz, Lord, 2,000 people, there's nothing here. He had a receptionist answering the phone. I said, that's what you have? And a big room in a big old factory right off 95. And so the Lord said to me, nets, nets, nets. You know, he does that sometimes. He just says one word. Let me teach you something. You know what the next thing you do? You go into the Word of God and look up everything on nets or whatever word he tells you, and you study it until the Holy Spirit shows you what he wants you to have out of there. Amen? Some continue to pray, and they're just getting the same thing. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Peter said, the more sure... Peter heard the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God. He saw Jesus transformed on the Mount, and he wrote in his epistle, even though I saw all that, there's a more sure word of prophecy, the written word. Peter. Could you trust Peter? Well, at that point you could. A little bit of Peter in all of us. Believe me, there's very little that Peter had done that we don't do. Talking out of school. Example. He gets the great revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus gushes all over him and says, that's great, Peter. That's wonderful. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this. 2 chapters later, Jesus is looking at him and saying, get behind me, Satan. Why? He's talking devil words. You're not going to the cross, Jesus. You're not. Whoa. Whoa, Peter. Hold up a second. All of our salvation hangs on that. And Jesus said, get behind me. And here's an interesting thing, just to give you this. You are not thinking about the things of God. You are thinking about the things of man. You're being selfish. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. All right. Luke chapter 5. I started looking at the nets. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Now, I want you to understand something. This account on Luke chapter 5 is different than the other ones. The other ones were at the Sea of Galilee. This was at Lake Genesaret. This was where Jesus had just got done speaking. So it isn't the same account. This is two different occasions. Okay? Launch out to the deep and let your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was, turned over, breaking. Whoa! What happened? Well, first of all, let me say something about nets as an analogy to ministry. We saw in the first two accounts that Jesus was calling them to be fishers of men. He makes an analogy of catching fish and catching men. Now look a little further in here. So they signaled to their partners and to the other boats to come help them. They came and filled both the boats, and so they began to sink. Things weren't going well. Well, let's look back at Peter. Peter says to Jesus, and notice Jesus said nets, plural. Peter goes, look, Jesus, don't you get it? I'm a professional fisherman. I do this for a living. You're a preacher guy. What do you know? Is it because it's you? And because I left everything before and I said I would follow you. Remember, this is a different event later. At your word, I'll let down a net. And I want you to know that net wasn't pretty. That's the old leftover net. Earlier in verse 1, they washed all the nets. They got them all cleaned up. They got everything done. This was a leftover net. This already more than likely had holes in it. Because after all, I got news for you, Jesus. We ain't catching nothing. Don't you understand? I know what I'm doing. Sad story, but true. 3-4 years ago, I had a pastor tell me that when the Lord had instructed me to bring him a word that would have helped him. It was a heavy word because it wouldn't come off me. I was tightly gripped by the Spirit of God. And so I went 250 miles to see this brother, and I told him what it was. You guys will never know what it was. So I told him, and this was his response. Don't you think we know what we're doing? I said, and with that, the Spirit of God just lifted. Was gone. And the Lord spoke to me and said, did your job. Head out. I don't even want to go into the trouble that went on. It just not worth talking about. It, let's just say, it was horrible. Be careful. Be cautious. Beware when you tell Jesus, I know what I'm doing. I'm talking to disciples now, aren't I? Yeah. Hey, I don't talk like this to the multitudes. Be cautious. Beware. Now, look what happened to them. But did God fulfill His word? He loaded that thing with fish. They couldn't handle it. That's why Peter, in the next couple of verses, falls to the knees of Jesus and says, begs forgiveness. I'm an unworthy person. When he saw that, because Peter knew what he did. He knew what his attitude was. And what really broke Peter was God filled it with fish. Isn't Jesus good? And the only reason that Peter didn't hit the ground was there was so much fish in there he could only go to his knees. They were standing knee deep in it. And the Lord began to speak to me out of that. And He began to say, you need to make nets. But He said, always remember, I'm the one who directs where the net goes. You make the net, I'll direct you. Put the net or nets where I show you. Now, what do I mean by a net? Let me give you an illustration. This is a net. Brother Don has given this net up as a sacrifice for the message tonight because I got a scissors. Here is a net, and you'll notice what makes the net up. No holes in it, very strong, no breaks, not rotted. Okay? Now, this right here, this is a scissors. Trying to cut. Oh, there it is. This right here is one of you. This is a member of the body. And see how you're connected to another of you, another with you. And see how that makes that net so strong? But what happens when everybody gets all upset and they get uptight? Oops. There's strife, here's unforgiveness, here's I don't like you, here's I'll have nothing more to do with you. I'm just leaving the church. I had nothing to do with the church. You might as well say you're unsaved. What? How can you say that? Well, when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were made a member of the church, the body of Christ, then. You're never not a member as long as you're born again believer. Hello? Is the church the body of Christ? Shake your head up and down. Are you a member? I'm a member. So therefore, your only quest at that point is, God, where do you want me? Amen? Do you understand that? We have all kinds of little pieces laying all over the place. All little pieces of the net everywhere. Well, when I went to New Haven, there were 2,000 pieces sitting there on a Sunday morning, and there wasn't any nets. Now, a Sunday morning service at a local church or fellowship, why are there local fellowships? Why are there God's Quest Ministry? Why does God do this? He's very practical for management purposes. Amen? Just so that he can get stuff done. It'd be pretty tough if the Lord spoke to Brother Don and Brother Noel and said, I want you to get a group. I want you to go to California. Oh, by the way, for 4 months. and do this. Why wouldn't he talk to the church down the street? Amen? So when he puts a group together, he puts them there for a purpose. Now, God has given an assignment specifically and directly to this ministry. Jesus is coming and going and going to be in Quakertown. And we will follow him where? To Quakertown. Because we want to be where he's going to be. Amen? Why? Because we're followers. Amen? Now, get this now. Jesus always directs where the net goes. So what is our deal? We make the net. We make up the net. Now, let me show you something with this net over here once again. And I'll give you an example of what happens when a net doesn't function properly. It breaks. Okay? Now, this net right now represents a Sunday morning service in the last 25 churches that I've been in the last 3 years. Not just here. How many of you know that if it wasn't for the salvation of souls, we don't need to be here? You're looking at me now like, what is he talking? Is heaven better? Sure, it's better. This place is a jungle. You know, Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, in the world you'll have tribulation. That's trouble. You know, Christians go around going, oh, I'm a Christian. It ain't that. It's the crumb stuff that happens in the world, and we're in it. The recession wasn't singled out for Christians. It happened to the world. We just happened to be, unfortunately, attached to it. Jesus said, get unattached. Amen? But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That means we do. So, really and truly, when you come down to it, when there's a Sunday morning service, okay, there should be, without fail, a call for salvation in every service. Without fail. Why? Because if you don't, you got a big hole in your net. Jesus brought those people there and he wanted them caught. He says in Luke, he doesn't say fishers of men. He said, I will make you catch men. The Greek for that is take them alive. Take them alive. John, how could you be that hard about it? Folks, they're going to hell. It's unfortunate most people receive Jesus to stay out of hell. They just don't know how great heaven is. Do you understand? The last 26 churches I've been in, no call for salvation. None. Well, you don't understand, John. I know everyone's there. Have you ever heard of faith? Let me ask you something. Why would God bring any unsaved person to a church service if he knew you weren't going to make a call for salvation and net them? Because it's the same thing that's true right here on a Thursday night. Brother Don makes calls, though. He put a net out, real live, in the park. That's a net. Okay? Put that net out in that park and put out the bait. You know, they say, why do you do that? We used to do the street meetings down in Philly, bunches and bunches and bunches of meetings down in Philly with Joey Perez. Bunches, thousands got saved back when we were up here till I went up to Connecticut. And let me tell you this. Do you think for a moment that we were going to go ahead and bring the food and the clothing and the things to minister to the people and have the message preached, and we sent out ministry teams to invite people, play the music and all that, and make no call for salvation? In the park, they made a call. Because that was what it was all about. Catch them. Catch them alive. And don't let them go. It seized them alive. Well, let me ask you a question. You say, what is this net thing? What does a net not do? Let them go. I don't mind when a person does what they want to do. What I mind is when the devil takes them away and we don't do anything about it. That's what I mind. When he gets in their head and he does what he does and we stand aside with big holes in the net and we don't close the net and we don't seize them. You're seizing them away from the devil and his gang. That's what I mind. Why should God spend all that money, all of that, to put these nets out, and those that are manning the nets don't have the sense to close them, to maintain them, to fix them? So in the course of time, in New Haven, I developed 8 nets. Here's a net, home groups. It's a good net. But you can't leave holes in it. Folks, truthfully, think about this. If you're not finding your place in the will of God to do what God's purpose and plan is here on earth, to see the will of God done in and through you, what's the point of staying? Okay, I've got children. I've got a family. What were they? Okay, good. Raise them up. Fear and admonition of the Lord. They're doing fine. That's where me and my wife are. Our children are raised. They're doing good. They're doing so good, they could actually make a decision without us. Hallelujah. And make it a good one. Amen? All right. I'll give you that much if that's the case. Then what? I got a mansion in heaven that beats the greatest house there is on earth. I've talked to a couple of people that were taken to heaven and came back, said, I got up there, I didn't want to leave. There's no crying, there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no curse, there's no tears, there's no fear, there's nothing like that. No way. So, I ask you tonight, why are you here? Can you say to me, I'm here because I'm a part of God Quest Ministry. This is the grace that I have, and this is how I function. And I'm at peace about the fact that I'm right where God wants me. There is no joy like the joy of bearing fruit for the Lord. It is off the charts. It's off the charts. Amen. And there isn't any reason why that can't be every day. I used this example when the three of us were at the restaurant with the group. You were there. Vicky was there, and the waitress. We didn't plan. How many believe we didn't pay her to show up? You better come over to the table. We'll pray for you. Lord moved Brother Don to pray for her. She was getting married. And when that girl lifted her hands up and said, my spirit is so uplifted after we prayed for her, it was joy for me. And one of the nice things about it, There was nothing in it for us. Amen. We didn't know if she was saved, unsaved, whatever. Got a chance to show, I haven't gone to church for years. Let me tell you something. The next thing to the heart of God is the salvation of unsaved souls. And the next thing in His heart is getting His kids back. Amen. That's the next area you deal with. The ones that are out there hurting, in pain. They don't understand. They don't know how to get back. And they've been hurt. And they don't know how to get back. And they're crying. And they want to get back. And there's nobody there to tell them. Nobody. And they keep hurting. And they keep suffering. How about this, God Quest Ministry? Why don't we answer the call? The need's there. There's not a day goes by you don't run into somebody who has been tricked by the enemy, taken captive by the enemy, or even if it is their own doing, who's not crying out, that you come in contact with, and you have the answer. You have the answer. I ran into a young fella. I happened to be sitting at Starbucks, which I do often. I do it because there's a grace there for me, I guess. I get a lot of ministry done. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to a brother who had just led to the Lord a couple months earlier, and I was going over some things, and a young fellow walks up to the end of the table, and he says to the kid that I'm talking to, he says, "Hey, David, what's going on?" And he starts talking with him. And David, boldly, says, "Oh, we're just going over the Bible talking about the Lord." Kid over here says, "Oh, yeah, the Lord." Antennas go up. Oh yeah, the Lord. So I said to him, "Do you go to a church? A local church?" "Yes." I said, "Now, let me ask you a bigger question. If you died tonight, do you know where you would go?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll go to hell." I said to him, "Now, how's that?" I said, "David, your buddy, says you received Jesus as Lord, Savior, that you were saved." Because he had pointed him out when he walked in, and he came and he stopped. I said, "So why do you say you're going to hell?" He says, "Because I like to party." He was told that because he partied, if he didn't repent, he would go to hell if he died. And I told him, I said, "You don't think a whole lot of the blood of Jesus, do you?" "What?" I said, "You don't think much of the blood of Jesus. Cleansed you." I ministered to the guy, long story short. We prayed. He said, "Glory, oh my goodness, thank you." Da, 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 da. I said, "Now, understand something." And I explained the grace of God to him. And I said, "Also, get in another church." That boy was suffering. And how many of you know God arranged that? That's what's fun. He'll arrange it for you. He'll set it up. That's the good work He prepares beforehand, that you should walk in it. Now, last thing tonight, you must be mended to be part of the net. The same word for mended is the same word equipped. Same Greek word, katartizo. Everybody say katartizo. Katartizo. I don't know a lot of Greek words, but I like that one. It's fun. Katartizo. It's the same word where it says the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, for the equipping of the saints is the same word as mending, where the disciples were mending the net. Equipping the saints, why? For the work of the ministry. Amen. And we're going to pick it up from here next week. Brother Don will be here. Brother Noah will be here. I'll be here. But most importantly, Jesus will be here, followers. Amen. Father, in the name